We're going to continue our series in 1 Peter. We have taken a break for the last couple of weeks, but 3 weeks ago we broke into chapter 2. Generally takes me a couple of weeks to get through a chapter, maybe longer. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter reminds us that there's something that we have to do. There is a part that you and I play in our Christian walk. How many of you know we don't just accept Jesus and then life goes all on our merry way and everything just gets better, right? There's something that we have to do. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1, Peter says, "Therefore," we'll read about what the therefore is therefore in just a little bit. "Therefore," he says, "rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." Peter says, rid yourself. In other words, you have a responsibility in this. Well, as we read the week before that in 1 Peter 1, and starting in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." And then Peter says, "Therefore, because of that, because you have been born again into a new and living hope, because we have this great inheritance that's held in heaven for us, because of all of that, therefore, rid yourself of all anger and malice and bitterness and envy and strife. Get rid of that junk in your life." I understand Peter's saying, you have a responsibility in this. God's not just going to come and take it all away. You have to submit. You and I, we have to submit to what God wants to do in our lives. There is a new way to live our lives. We have to submit to it. Can we choose to go back the old way? Of course we can. We can choose to walk in the garbage if we want. How many of you have enjoyed a life filled with bitterness and anger and malice? How many of you like the way that helps you sleep at night? You like the way you got to walk on the other side of the store when you see John coming because, oh, John, man, he's a jerk. We don't like that stuff, but we don't want to change. Peter says, rid yourself. Do something about it. Then he says in verse 2, "Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Once you've tasted the goodness of God, we just sang about it. "Your goodness is running after me." His goodness is trying to chase us down. His goodness is there all the time. All we need to do is reach out and grab a hold of it. But that means we have to change our behaviors. We have to change the way that we live our lives. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago as being absolutely a critical part of our growth in Christ. We have to put away the attitude of malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy. Put off those behaviors, not so that you can feel more like Jesus, not so that you can get more like God, but because of Christ in us. Because of who He is. Because of what He's done. Peter says, therefore, because you've been born into a new and living hope, do this because of that. Now you may say, "Pastor, this is how you finished the last sermon." You're right. Because it's important. We need to grow up. Peter says, when you do this, you're growing up into your spirituality. We live in a world that, well, I may be a Christian, not a Christian, church going, but I'm spiritual. If you're spiritual, but you're not part of the family of God, it's the wrong spirit. We're spirit beings. That's who we are. But Peter says, you've been born into a new and living hope. You got to walk that out. We got to walk that out. We've got to make that a reality. I've said it often. I've said it way many, many, many times. Again, we don't do this in order to get more of God, but we do it because we have Christ in us. Because He is changing, He's changing us from the inside out. We're learning this new way. We don't have to get upset. How many of you know you don't have to get upset if somebody cuts you off at a stop sign or cuts you off going down the highway? You know you don't have to get upset about that? How many of you know you don't have to get upset when your kid does something wrong? You don't have to get upset about that. You don't have to walk in bitterness and anger when the boss comes down on you for no reason whatsoever. It wasn't even me. Somebody else did that. Poor me. You know it's a pity party. Just so you know, you know it's a pity party if you're the only one there. You're trying to drag someone in with you. And then you know it's a pity party. Okay. God doesn't want us to walk in that old attitude, that old behavior. Peter says, rid yourself. Get rid of that. How many of us would say, the Lord is good? Would your experience be that the Lord is good? How many of you would say that? Okay, now hang on a minute. Really. Hey, let's keep your hands up. How many of you would say that your experience with God is that God is good? If that is our experience, why would we hang on to anything that's not good? Why would we want to hang on to anything that's bitter? Why would we want to hang on to anything that's critical? Why would we want to hang on to any kind of malice or envy or judgment? That does not reflect who Christ is. When we finished last couple of weeks ago, we finished with 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10. You just got the overview. This is just getting us caught back up to where we are. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Peter says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul." Now, I put this message together probably a couple of weeks ago, and then I refined it a little bit last night, and then this morning I went at it again, and this morning the Lord spoke something to me that just... I haven't researched this, I don't have it, but I'm just going to let you in on a little something. Listen to that verse again. "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires." It's almost as though Peter is saying, sinful desires and those things that wage after your soul, they take place in this land that is foreign to you now that you're a believer. Hang on. That is now not our nature if you've been born again. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, these things are waging war after your soul. They want to drag you back. They come from another kingdom. We've talked about this before, that we were born in sin, we're born into the kingdom of darkness, and along comes Jesus. He sends down this lifeline. We grab hold of that lifeline, and all of a sudden, He picks us up and delivers us into the kingdom of His dear Son, of Jesus Christ. Now we're in His kingdom. We're in the kingdom of light. And all this darkness is waging war. It's trying to drag us back. Right? The enemy doesn't want you to get free. The enemy doesn't want you to have peace. We have an enemy. How many of you know that? We talk a lot about God, but there is such a thing as a devil. There is such a thing as Satan. There is such a thing as demons. You go, "Oh, Pastor, I'm not really sure." Trust me. Read about it. It's in Scripture. It's real. The great serpent. Scripture talks about it. And he wants to drag you back into that hellish life. He wants to drag you back into that place of dismay, of darkness. And Peter says, those are the things that are warring against our soul. Why do we want to allow the enemy a stronger foothold by saying, "Yeah, I'm going to be mad at Greg. I can't believe Greg did that. I just can't believe he would do that. And so I'm gonna sit over here in the kingdom of light, but I'm going to let that darkness infiltrate my soul." We don't have to do that. You don't have to live in that life any longer. Now, if you've not been born again, if you've not asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, if the power of the Holy Spirit has not taken up residence within you, you're just subject to that darkness. Right? You don't really have a choice. That garbage is going to come at you, and it's going to come at you, and it's going to come at you, and there's no way to overcome it. But if we've been born again into the kingdom of His dear Son, if we've been born again into light, we now have the power to be victorious over that. Right? Six people, believe me. You've been taken out of the darkness. We've been taken out of the pit. Peter says, now you're walking in this new life as a foreigner on this earth. Do you get that? We're foreigners. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen. Right? Right? If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? What are we gonna? What do we really, in the core of our guts, what do we really believe about that? Do we believe that this world is not our home? Because I'm here to tell you, most of us live like this world is our home. And I'm guilty of it. What do we really believe?
I believe I'm going home.
Amen. Is this world really not our home? Because if it's not our home, it should challenge the way that we do live our lives. Peter says that as foreigners and exiles, we need to abstain from sinful desires. In other words, the sinful desires are part of this old fallen system. The sinful desires, whether that sinful desire is anger or bitterness or jealousy or lust or envy or strife or bitterness, whatever that is, even just a hunger for wealth, a hunger for things, materialism, I got to have this, I got to have that, I got to have this, I've got to have that. Whatever that is, that's waging war after your soul. It's trying to drag you down. It's trying to take you back to that place of being separated from God. There are those of you in this room, and I know alcohol, drugs, sex, those are the things that have drugged you away from a relationship with God. They wage war. I don't think we get it. Scripture says that we are in a battle. Do we believe on a daily basis that there is someone trying to destroy us? There is. The deceiver, the enemy. He's trying to drag you away. God, what is your heart for me today? What would you have for me? What if somebody says something bad against me? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to live that out? Peter says, get rid of the malice. Get rid of the junk. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, Peter says, live such good lives among the pagans, among the non-believers, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see the good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits. That even though people want to say something bad about you, how does that suck you in? The first way it sucks you in is somebody wants to say, you've been set free from this kingdom of darkness. So now you're over here in the kingdom of light. You're saying, all right, God, I want to walk with you. Now somebody over there throws a dart and it affects your heart. Ah! I can't believe you said that about me. I can't believe you'd think that of me. Why would you think that? How are you going to respond?
Pray for him.
How are you going to respond? Are you going to respond with joy? Are you going to respond with peace? Are you going to go, you dirty rascal? And as you are, if you think about this, as you do that, you're not bringing them into the kingdom of light. You're walking back over into the kingdom of darkness. Man, I'd like to pound knots in your head. I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you'd do that. Think about it, folks, because it's every day. It's every day. I don't care whether you're the renter or the rentee. I don't care whether you're the buyer or the buyee. I don't care whether you're selling or whatever. It doesn't make any. We get in these, whether you're the boss or whether you're the worker, we get in these scuffles, and the enemy wants to drag us back into this. And Peter says, if you go back there, that's foreign territory. You don't belong there anymore. You belong walking in this newness of life. That's where you need to stay. That's where you need to be. That's where you need to keep your heart. That's where you need to keep your attitude. God, you've set me free. I'm not going to grab hold of that anger anymore. I'm not going to grab a hold of that junk anymore. I don't want to live like that anymore. I need you to change my heart. Most of us live our lives, quite honestly, like this world is all there is. But this world is not all there is. There is a far greater world that we're going to experience. We can experience a peace now that doesn't come from anything that the world has for us. We can experience a joy. We can experience a life. But if we get so caught up in the things of this world, we lose all that, and it wages war against our soul continuously. Peter tells us a little bit how to do this. We go on here in 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 13. Now, some of you might not like this, but that's okay. Because I'm going to stay in this kingdom of light. How's that? But listen to what he says. Therefore, there's back to that therefore. There's more therefores in the book of Peter than probably anywhere else. Therefore, because you're supposed to be living in the kingdom of light, because this world is going to wage war against your soul, because God has delivered us into that kingdom of light, because we're in a new place, therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to king as supreme or to governors. He never met our governor. You can't say that, Pastor. He never met our governor. Peter never met our governor. I don't care. Or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for punishment of evildoers or for the praise of those who do good. This is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Did you get that? Sometimes what we need to do is keep our mouths shut and just keep living for Jesus and let that speak the volumes for us. Let the way you live your life shut the mouth of the fool. Because the fool's going to keep on talking. Proverbs tells us if we go ahead and argue with a fool, we're just going to get sucked into that same mess that they're in. Sometimes we just got to shut up and continue to walk as a believer. Walk out our faith. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, I'd just really like to know what God's will is. Ding, 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 ding. This is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for a vice. In other words, he's saying, I've set you free. Don't use your freedom to keep doing bad stuff that nobody sees. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm going to church. But you're still doing all the garbage that you did before. Knock it off. Grow up. Put that stuff away. Rid yourself of it. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Please hear me out. I want you to hear me out. There might be different titles for these rulers, for these leaders of the nations in the world today. Maybe we don't serve kings, but we have presidents, governors. There's a principle here that Peter is trying to apply to our life. He's saying, look, God has placed these people in authority for some reason. You and I may not fully understand the reason why God has placed. In the Old Testament, many, many times, he used a wicked king to bring about judgment on Israel. Now, if you are that Jewish person, you're saying, oh God, this king is so wicked, I can't believe it. You must have meant to bring somebody else. This can't be the person that you really wanted. And yet God installs those people in that place for a reason, to bring that nation to some kind of a judgment, to expose them. Maybe, just maybe, just maybe, whether you like our king or our governor or our mayor or your pastor or you don't, maybe God has placed those leaders in for a greater purpose than you. Right? Maybe it's not all about me. It's all about me. Oh, no, that's not the way that song goes, is it? It's all about you. He puts in rulers and leaders to direct nations. And if the nations have not been behaving themselves, he might put rulers and leaders in to spank a nation. Right? I'm not really sure that we like that. But God, that's inconvenient for me. God's plan is bigger than you. Right? God might have a larger purpose. You say, well, what about a rogue leader? What about a leader who doesn't want to do God's will? Do you really think that you and I know God's will implicitly? We got it all? Scripture says that his thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. Well, if I was God, I'd do it different. Yeah, you're not. And he isn't leaving anytime soon. And it really isn't a vote. God puts in leaders as He wills. Now, what do we do about unrighteous stuff? What do we do about the junk? Do we just sign off on it? I believe there's a time that you and I need to stand up for righteousness. I believe that. Okay? We're not just going to sign off and say, hey, you know, gay marriage and abortion, that's all just cool. We can do all that. And blah, 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 blah. We're not just going to sign off on all that stuff, right? I understand that. But Peter says, in the middle of all of that, keep your heart right. Don't grab hold of bitterness. Don't grab hold of anger. Don't grab hold of judgment. Don't grab hold of envy. Get rid of all that junk and let the way you live your life silence the fool. We're way too often, we just want to throw up a picket sign. Way too often, we want to fight back. Way too often. Listen, here's the truth. This world system is broken. It's been broken since the beginning, and you and I are not going to fix it here. You all don't know what to think of that. I thought we were supposed to run for office. You can be the mayor, you can be the councilman, you can be on the school board. Great. God bless you. Do all that stuff. Inject righteousness into that. But this, we are living in a broken system. We are living in the world's system. And that system is broke now, and it's going to be broke until Jesus comes back. Right? And when He comes back, He's going to set it all straight. Because you and I can't set it all straight. We want to. We wish we could. Man, I wish we could. I wish we could get a committee together and say, we're just going to vote in all the principles of God. Great, we can try that. We can do whatever we can do. But I'm telling you, it's still a fallen system. It's still a broken system. Peter says, you're not part of this world system. You're foreigners here. Live like you're foreigners. You're exiles. You're just here for a little while. You've been set free from that. God is going to come back someday, and He's going to set everything right. If we believe that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords, we believe that? Yeah. We sing those songs, right? We believe that? Someday the King is going to come back, and He's going to set everything straight. And there is nothing that any force of this world can do to change that. He's going to do away with this old system. We've talked about that. We looked at that all through Revelation. God is going to come back and He's going to set up His kingdom. And there is not going to be any voting on whether we should do it this way or that way. We're not going to have those options, right? But that is not the day we currently live in. We live in a fallen world. And it's terrible. The world around us, forgive the phrase, but the world around us is going to hell in a handbasket. Every time you look around, it's more darkness, it's more deceit, it's more wickedness. It's things that you and I, when we were kids, thought, oh my gosh, they'll never do that. And that's what they're doing. And more. And the more we find out, the worse it is. That's the kingdom of darkness. That is this world system. And we're never going to be able to fix it. Sorry. I wish I could say if we had a prayer meeting, we'd get it all right. And we can have prayer meetings, and we can pray for leaders, and we can hope and trust that God will bring them in. But He's got a greater plan, and He is navigating because He's got the end in mind. See, we don't have the end in mind. We're looking to say, okay, this would make it better for us. This would make it better for the people around us. I agree with all of that. But the reality is God's got an end game, and He's going to come back, and He's going to come back for a church that's still looking to Him and not so worried about what's going on in the world around us. I'm going to say something you might not like. Surprise! I believe God has used the United States of America in many, many great ways. But the United States of America is not the kingdom of God. It's not. We're still led by fallen leaders. That's the way it is. There's still a greater kingdom coming. Am I glad that I was born here? Yes. Am I glad that I wasn't born in a communist country, a Muslim country, a Buddhist? Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Grateful. Grateful to the King of Kings that that's where I was born, that's where I was raised, and that's where I live. Grateful. But there is a greater kingdom coming. On our best day, as a nation, our best day, we're still part of a fallen kingdom. Our best day, we're still part of the fallen world's system. Don't get distracted from the kingdom of God by trying to fix the kingdom of this world. Keep the King of Kings the important thing. We need to keep Jesus the focus. When he says, get rid of all bitterness and malice and envy, then you know what you need to do? Get rid of all bitterness, envy, malice. He says in 1 Peter verse 17, 2:17, he says, honor people. Honor people. Honor people. Just leave that up there. So, show proper respect to everyone. Honor people. Honor, respect to everyone. You realize how quickly, even as believers, we go away from that when we're talking politics, when we're talking about religion, when we're talking about all kinds of stuff. We walk away from that and we dishonor people immediately. That guy's a moron. What did we used to call them? Instead of Democrats, they were Demoncrats. Anybody part of the 80s? I remember those days, right? Honor. Where's the honor in that? Where's the honor? Respect everyone. Love the family of believers. Love the family of believers. Do we care for one another in this body at a level that says, I'll do whatever I can to help you? Do we love the family of believers? How quickly the church has been accused of this for literally centuries. We're so quick to murder our own wounded, to kick the one who's down, somebody who's fallen in sin. What do? We want to jump on that bandwagon and declare it to everybody, make sure that it's a prayer request, that everybody knows that so-and-so had a failure. Where do we really show the love of God? How far away from God's heart have we gone? When we don't even love the family of believers. Fear God. I just watched an interview the other day. It was Alice Cooper. Many of you know the 80s rock star Alice Cooper. You know who he is. He was doing an interview with Greg Laurie, the pastor from the Jesus Revolution. And Alice Cooper, whose grandfather was a pastor, and I believe his father was a pastor. And Alice got into rock and roll and drugs and sex and went as far from the church as he possibly could, until he's somewhere in his 50s and he realized just how crazy his life had gotten. And he said, you might think that I came back to the church because God is love. He said, God's love, all right, but that's not why I came back. The reason I came back was I came off of a high one night and I realized that if I died, I was going straight to hell. I came back because there is a just God out there. There is a God who's in charge of the universe, and I was not playing by his rules. We're supposed to fear God. Now, I know we always say, well, that's about respecting him and honoring him and having that type of fear. That's all true, but guess what? We serve a just God. We serve a God who said, I told you in my book what I want you to do, and you said no. What side of the aisle are we on? Where are we at? Do we really have... The Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And I believe there are a lot of Christians walking around who aren't very bright. They don't have any knowledge of God because they don't fear Him. Not only do they not show Him reverence and respect, but they're not even afraid that there is a just God in the universe who's coming back for a kingdom, a bride who's free of spot or blemish. He tells us here, rid yourself of anger and malice. Get rid of that junk. Well, I really like to hang on to that. Then you're in the wrong kingdom. Crave spiritual milk so that you'll grow up into spiritual things. I know you, if you've been here for the last several months, my mantra has been grow up, grow up, grow up, grow up, grow up. But I believe that's what God's calling the church to. He's calling us to grow up. He's calling us to grow up. He's calling us to be His sons and daughters. He's got work for you to do. He's got work for me to do. It's not sitting here sucking our thumbs wondering when the next meal is coming. Grow up and be a part of cooking it. Grow up and be a part of dispensing the truth instead of just being a taker of the gospel, a consumer of it. When to become deliverers and dispensers of it. When we grow up. Paul says in the middle of the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, in the middle of love is patient, love is kind, love, all these great things about love. In the middle of that section, he says, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I behaved like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put away, this is not mama picking up your Legos, I put away childish things. Rid yourself of, put away the toys, boys and girls, it's time to grow up. But I really like living in sin. Do it, great. Just stop calling yourself a believer. Do it, great. Just stop besmirching the name of Christ. You know, if there's anything in my heart that's kept me over the years from just wanting to walk into blatant, outright sin when those temptations are there, it's the fact that I can't stand the thought of giving the gospel of Jesus Christ a black eye. I just can't stand the thought of it. Pastor falls into sin with finances. Pastor falls into sin because of a woman. Pastor falls into sin because of drugs. Pastor falls in. I can't stand the thought of giving the gospel a black eye. I can't stand the thought of saying, Jesus, you gave your life for me, and yet I decided to do what I wanted to do, and because of it, church takes another hit. When are we going to grow up? When are we going to say, you know what? Send me in, coach. Hook me up. Where do you need me? And then finally he says, honor the king. Fear God, honor the emperor. This world is not our home. It's so easy to just say, well, this politician did that, this politician did the other, blah, 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 blah. Who cares? Where do we live our lives? Do I live my life at the White House? I don't. Do I live my life in Congress? I don't. My goal is to walk as an honorable citizen of the Kingdom of Light in the community of Detroit Lakes, right here, right now. That's where we need to shine the light. I've had people want to get into political arguments with me. It happened last election cycle. Somebody came into my office. I suppose you're blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know, I've never had either one of those guys over at my house for supper. Bob, it made him so angry he came back the next day. I saw what you did yesterday. You wouldn't engage. I'm like, yeah, well, the same thing's going to happen today. Well, don't you have a belief? Sure I do. What difference does it make? You just want to argue with me. I'm not playing the game. I'm not taking the bait, okay? I don't have to. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. What, you need oxygen? I'm not taking the bait. I'm not going there. We live in a fallen world. I don't care whether you like Republicans, Democrats, Independents. It's all part of a fallen system. And you and I are foreigners here. We should walk like it. Well, what does that mean? Live in righteousness. Don't blame somebody else for your problems. Put away all anger, jealousy, bitterness, hatred. Put it all away. Envy? I mean, even envy, Pastor? Even envy. Well, how bad is just a little bit of jealousy? It's bad. Put it all away. Pick it up, just like you're a child. Put away the childish things and say, I'm choosing to walk as an adult in my Christian walk. I'm choosing to walk like a man or a woman of faith. I'm going to make a choice here. I'm not going to live the way I used to live. I'm not going to let that stuff rile me. He always gets my goat. Kill your goat. Set it free. Let it go. Go somewhere else. Get out of here. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." If you love one another. We can't get hold of the very simple things. Just love one another. You want to do a Bible study, you want to do a search, just grab a concordance and look up one another's. One another's. I can tell you right now there's 57 of them in the New Testament. You want to know how we're supposed to treat one another? Look up one another's. It's a great Bible study. Love one another, pray for one another, care for one another, greet one another with a holy kiss. There's a whole bunch of one another's. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 says, "Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell." We're out of time, and I got way many pages left. The reality is that God wants us to put away some of that junk. Pick it up. Think about your life like a toy box. Think about your life like the kid's toy room. God doesn't want to play games anymore. Do I think there's still room for humor? Yeah. Do I think there's still room for laughter? Yes. Do I think there's still room for joy? Absolutely. But God wants us to grow up in our spiritual life. He wants us to mature. He wants us to put away the childish things. Put away that childish stuff. Grow up in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Father, I just thank you for each person who's here today. I thank you for your word. Lord, your word just encourages us over and over again to remember that we are foreigners here. This world is not our home. We're not going to be here forever and ever and ever. You're going to come and deliver the church at some point, God. I believe that. And there is a new kingdom coming. But if we're so used to walking in this old kingdom, we're not going to have a clue how that should look. Help us today, Father, to decide to grow up and walk in that newness of life. So when the new kingdom comes, we recognize it. We're already living that. I believe your word says you'll take us from glory to glory. So I ask you to do that. Help us to grow up in our faith. Grow up in you. Challenge us, Holy Spirit. You've not only spoken these words, but you've given us the ability to rise above that, rise above this world. We are overcomers because of the Word of God, because of your Spirit in our life. Help us to walk in that truth. Live it out in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.